Okay, good morning. Happy Sunday after Christmas. As we've already talked about, this is a week where a lot of things are kind of closed down and there's not a lot going on in a lot of folks' lives. And so we kind of do what we call one-offs these weeks, where we have finished our Advent preaching series and we haven't yet picked up Romans. So what happens usually during those times is you kind of get our quiet times or something along those lines. And as we looked at Jesus as the king over the past several weeks, I was reading in Colossians chapter 1 about this kingdom that we're now a part of. And so I wanted to spend a few moments in a few verses here in Colossians chapter 1. We'll be in verses 9 through 14, looking at the kind of people that our king wants us to be, and what he has done to make that happen and continues to do to empower us to be the people of his kingdom. So we'll be in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. And before I dive in there and read it, you know, Colossians is a book that Paul wrote while he was in prison in Rome. Epaphras was someone who had come to faith through Paul's the preaching of the gospel in Ephesus. And then he went back east into the Lycus Valley there where Colossae and Laodicea are in what is now modern-day Turkey. And he brought the gospel there and planted the church there in Colossae and shepherded there. And then he went back to Rome to visit with Paul in his imprisonment. And it was during that time that I don't know if he asked Paul, but discussing what was going on in the church, Paul writes the letter to the church, and we now have this here as a letter to the Colossians. And so as you read through the book, which would be a great thing for you to do in this off week, just kind of read through Colossians, you'll see a lot about Epaphras in there. And Paul calls him in verse 7, a dear fellow servant who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. And so he's writing this letter to them to teach them really about the supremacy of Christ and what it looks like to walk in a way that's worthy of our Lord Jesus. So with that little bit of background, let's pray, and we'll dive into these few verses. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the glorious season of Advent. It can be a time where celebration reaches an exhausting level, where we have parties, and we throw parties, and we eat things, and celebrate, and open gifts, and have gifts, and we sing songs, and light things, and light candles, and light lights, and decorate, and it's beautiful. But it has a season, and it comes to an end, and we're grateful for the seasons of celebration that you bring into our lives. You created us for it, to celebrate you, to celebrate in seasons, but then there is a time to move on to other things. And so we come to you this morning, and we ask for you to help us to transition well into 2026, to transition well out of this year. Cause us, O Lord, to look back and to see your faithfulness to us, to look forward in anticipation of your faithfulness, and to ask some of the questions, Lord, that get us thinking well and thinking rightly in terms of our relationship with you and your will for us in this life. So as we open up Colossians today, Lord, we look at a prayer that Paul has for these people that we share so much with, even though they spoke a different language and lived in a different time, and we share the same Lord and Savior. They would sing these songs that we just sang about your all-sufficient merit, that you have won salvation for us and brought us into your kingdom. So as you open your word today, please help us. As we do every week, we're just going to take a moment and ask for our Heavenly Father to help us learn what he wants us to learn. So just take a moment in your seat there and just pray and just ask the Lord, lay anything you need to lay, any frustrations, any worries. Just take a moment of quiet and ask him to help you receive his word and to learn what he is teaching you. And as we do every Sunday, we want to pray for people around us. And so just pray for maybe someone you just met, maybe it's a person that's next to you or in front of you, but just pray for that person that the Lord would teach them everything that he wants them to learn this morning from his word. Lord, we come to you as we always do in great need. Teach us, train us up in righteousness. Encourage us and remind us of who you are and who you have made us to be in your kingdom. In Christ's risen name we pray. Amen. So this is Colossians 1, 9 through 14. It says this: "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have the redemption, or the the forgiveness of sins." Okay, so Paul, these letters are not, they're not weird. He's just writing out what he and Epaphras have been praying for them. And if you read through the book and you get to chapter 4, he talks about how Epaphras has prayed fervently for the people that he loves and has shepherded. And so he says, "We heard about you and we have not stopped praying for you." Like, Paul's ministry and the ministry of the gospel is bathed and baked, and prayer goes through the entire thing. And they are consistent in their prayer. "We have not stopped praying for you." And what are they praying? Well, they're asking God to do something. Well, one, he asks God to fill them with the knowledge of his will, which is an incredible thing to ask. And it seems like a very reasonable thing to ask, because we all need to know, what is God's will? What does God want me to do? And so he is praying that God would fill them with the knowledge of his will, which means a couple of things. One, they don't have the knowledge of his will. They're empty of that, and so they need God to fill them with that knowledge. And then he gives this phrase, "through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." So how is God going to fill them with the knowledge of his will? What is going to do it through all spiritual wisdom and understanding? Well, how is he going to do that? Well, he will do it through the Spirit. He'll do it through the teaching of the apostles. He will do it through the work of the church. He will do it through the word. He will do it through the sacraments that the church does, taking communion. And how will he fill them with the knowledge of his will? Through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. It means that we lack those things. You and I don't naturally have spiritual wisdom. I don't naturally have understanding. I don't know God's will. And so I have to find it out. And that is what Paul is praying. And then he says, "And we pray this in order that you may do what? Live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way." Do you know, believer, that you can actually live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way? This is not some sort of thing that you never attain to, or that you... Paul is praying something that can actually happen. It is a lie of the devil to believe that you cannot actually live a life that pleases the Lord. You can't. Does that mean you live a perfect life? Well, of course not. Otherwise, why would we need a redeemer? But he says and asks that they would have a knowledge of God's will, that they would have spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that they can live a life worthy of the Lord. Without those things, it's very hard to live a life worthy of the Lord and a life that will please him in every way. We have to grow in knowledge and in understanding and wisdom. We're talking about knowledge just a second. We have to grow in knowledge of his will. We have to grow in wisdom. We have to grow in understanding, which means you have to use your brain. You have to read your Bible. You have to pray. You have to think. But the goal of that is not just that you will know what God's will is. The goal of it is not just that you will have wisdom, not just that you will have understanding. It's so that you can live a life that is worthy of the Lord, worthy of the name Christian, worthy of the name Christ, worthy of the name Jesus, and that you can live a life that pleases him in every way. It's beautiful. Like, if you walk with the Lord for very long at all, and you understand even just the tiniest bit of what he has done for us, you want to please him. That is a good motivation. Wanting to please the Lord in everything you do, that's maybe one of the best motivations that humans can have. Like, Lord, I want to mow my yard to please the Lord. I want to take out the trash. I want to help this client out. I want to paint this wall. I want to change this diaper. I want to wrap this gift. I want to do all these things to please you. If that is our motivation, we're probably going to do okay. We're going to fail, by the way. We fail every day. But if that's your heart, be encouraged with that. And then he says this. He says, he gives this, well, at least in the NIV here, there's a colon there explaining what it looks like to live a life worthy. He says, bearing fruit in every good work. So a life that pleases the Lord, a life that is worthy of the name of Jesus, bears fruit in good works. This is what the book of James is about. Like, Christians do good things. We feed the poor. We fight injustice. We're kind to a mean neighbor. We the fruit of the Spirit is born through us as we walk in dependence upon Him. Love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We bear fruit in every good work. That is what a person living a life pleasing to Jesus does. Next thing is growing in the knowledge of God. You have to grow in your knowledge of Him. Like, that's why we constantly teach out of the Bible. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why I have a Bible reading plan. We desperately need to be in the Word. Why? Well, as we'll get to in a minute, there are these two kingdoms that are at war with each other. And we are a part of one of them. And in order to know the life and the rule and the heart of that king and who the king is, we have to be in the Word. Or you have to at least be in the Word. I mean, you can read books. You can listen to podcasts, you can listen to sermons, those are all good things. But nothing beats you being in the Word with yourself, by yourself with the Lord, and you being in the Word in community. Opening up the Bible, reading it, seeing what it says, and growing in the knowledge of God. Do you know who God is? And you're going to constantly grow in that. Why? Because He's infinite. How do you ever, you're just be like, yeah, I know God. I mean, like, I know everything there is to know about Him. Really? Like, I don't know everything there is to know about any single person. Even my wife will celebrate 25 years of marriage this week. And I don't know, yeah, praise the Lord. I don't know anything. I don't know everything about her. How could I? She doesn't know everything about me. She doesn't know every thought that I have. She doesn't. Now, we know each other better than two people, than any two people. I don't know anybody better than I know Jenny. And she doesn't know anybody better than she knows me. But our knowledge is still limited. Imagine just amplify that out to the nth degree about an infinite, wonderful, eternal God. So we have to grow in the knowledge of God. And then verse 11 says this, and this is very, very important, because a lot of these things, I'm thinking, okay, what do I just have to get a bigger brain, have to do study, and should I go to seminary? It's like, I don't know, maybe, if it's a lot of money to kind of maybe waste. But you can learn a lot of things if you go, but how do I do those things? Well, verse 11 says, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. So how do you grow in wisdom? How do you bear fruit in every good work? How do you live a life that is worthy of the Lord and pleases Him in every way? You do it according to His power. Well, He has all power. Being strengthened with all power. He has no limit to it. There's no reservoir that gets emptied out. God doesn't like run out of power to give us. But we can be strengthened with His very power according to His glorious might. And then this beautiful phrase, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Why? Because living a life that pleases the Lord is going to run into some conflict. You're going to need patience. You're going to need great endurance in order to do that. And that does not come from you. You do not produce that patience. You do not produce that endurance. How could we? We have a rule in our life group that we no longer pray for patience. We're like, hey, because every time we pray for patience, like, it's like the worst week anybody's ever had. And so we decided, like, okay, Lord, we're going to pray that I can be joyful when hard things happen this week. We're going to pray that when my patience is tested, that I am faithful, right? We no longer say, like, Lord, make me patient. Because when we do that, He puts us in situations that require patience that we don't have. So this says, according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. This is one of the characteristics of a kingdom follower of Jesus. We are people of great endurance and patience that comes not from us, but from him. You cannot produce what you need and what is required to live a life that is pleasing to Jesus. I'll say that again. You cannot produce what is required to live a life that is pleasing to Jesus. But he can. He can give you great endurance. He can give you patience. And then this last part of this verse, right before rolling into verse 12, says this, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, he can produce in us gratitude, joyful, overflowing gratitude. Why? He has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. The word qualified means to like render somebody adequate to perform a duty. So like, let's say if you needed to build a bridge, I do not have the qualifications to build a bridge. So I'd have to go to school and I'd have to learn how to build bridges. And then I'd have to get, you know, take tests and someone have to certify me and qualify me to build bridges. If I want to do open heart surgery on people, I don't have those skills. If I want to practice law, I don't have those skills. If I want, there's a long list of things that I don't have skills for. Have to go get qualified to do that. Well, you and I share in the kingdom of Jesus. We share in his inheritance, and we share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light. That is who we are. You and I are saints in the kingdom of light. How is it that we got there? God qualified us to do it. How? Well, we just sang like four songs about it. He did it through Jesus in verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Because of what Christ did, God the Father has qualified you and me and every believer to be and share, to be members of the kingdom and to share in Christ's inheritance in the kingdom of light. Verse 13 says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So, what do we know about this kingdom? Well, it's a kingdom of light. It's opposite of the dominion of darkness. So the kingdom, it's like the ruling of, place of authority where Christ is king. That's where he reigns. Okay? There is the dominion of darkness. Dominion is this picture of being subject to or ruled by. So the Bible is very, very clear. Like when we looked at, even during Advent, we looked at the temptation of Jesus with the devil, that the devil has been given authority to, this world, this broken world in the process of being redeemed is the devil's dominion. He has power here. You don't have to read many headlines to know that the devil is working. And he has lots of power here. That's limited power. It's the devil's power and it will not last forever. But this, we are like, as C.S. Lewis put it, we're like enemies. We're living behind enemy lines. This is enemy territory. The enemy is the devil. And we are in his territory. There is a dominion of darkness, and it is the world around us. Well, we have been rescued out of that, and we are now saints in the kingdom of light. There is a king. He will set up his kingdom and have his earthly kingdom here. Lots of Bible passages look at that. Revelation is very, very clear about that. But we are currently living in a dominion of darkness. And everybody who does not know the Lord Jesus, who has not believed on him for the forgiveness of their sins, they remain under the dominion of darkness. They remain under, subject to the power of the devil. Ephesians talks about this, and that they have been blinded, spiritually blinded by the work of the devil, because they're in this dominion of darkness. But God has rescued us out from underneath that dominion, out from underneath that authority, and he's brought us into a kingdom of light and a kingdom of love. It is the kingdom of the Son he loves. The very basis of the kingdom of Jesus is love. If God is love and he has a kingdom, then it'll be a kingdom of love. There is a kingdom of darkness, and there's a kingdom of light and love. when you put them in those stark ways and you just ask somebody, what kingdom do you want to be a part of? Well, most people never even think about that. They're not thinking, well, I want to be part of the kingdom of darkness. They're just in the dark. They don't know. That's why I say all the time, like, don't get onto a lost person for acting like a lost person. Like, church people spend so much time complaining about lost people acting lost. I'm like, you ought to be really mad at yourself for not acting like a child of light. That's what the New Testament is written about. It's Paul doesn't write letters jumping on unbelievers for acting like they're lost. He writes letters to believers being like, hey, do you know who you are? Live like it. Bear fruit in good works. Grow in the knowledge of God. Be strengthened according to his power. Give thanks to the Father. He's done everything. He's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light. If you've ever been to a foreign country and you got a passport, and you know what, even better than that, while we're, when our kids were, I think I've told this story not too long ago, during the Thunder, after they won the championship, there was this big parade downtown. It was super fun. It was chaotic. I mean, it was bonkers. And through Jenny's work, we had we were staying at the Omni Hotel down there. And so they had a room. We were there. And so I had this key card that said Omni on it. Well, no one could go there. And it cordoned off. They weren't just letting people come and use the bathroom. Otherwise, but, you know, but it had been like a half a million people in there. So I went out. Our kids went down. They walked down with the parade. And they come out. And there's just a sea of people. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people were there. And we got our kids, and I told my kids, meet me at this corner at the streetlight, and I'll see you. And so they see me, and my kids are in tow, and I have this little key card, and it just says Omni. It says a room number on it. So when I get up to it, there's these guards there, and they're like, whoa, you can't enter. And I've got the key. I just held the key card, and I'm like, I'm there and there with me. And the kids are like, well, the kid's just kind of walking behind me. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And it makes me feel like I'm super special. But the reality is that this is how every believer gets into heaven. You do not get in because you have a key card. You get in because Jesus is the key card. And you follow in Jesus. Like when you walk into heaven, whatever that looks like, I know there's people who talk about pearly gates, which is a super kind of weird picture of their big gates made out of pearls. Anyway, when you stand before God and you ask, and he asks you, why are you here? If your answer is not Jesus, just good luck. We just sang a song that said, I give up my righteousness, my self-righteousness, to receive the righteousness of Jesus. That is the gospel. You cannot hold on to your own self-righteousness, my behavior, my choices, my power, my rights, my good works, and also get into the kingdom of light. It doesn't work. Because all of our works, all the things that we think that we can do, if Christ is not empowering us to do it, they don't please him. And so if I am empowering myself to do it, they don't please the Lord. You're going to get burned up. So, he rescues us out of darkness and brings us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, which is the forgiveness of sins. So there are these two kingdoms. There is a kingdom of darkness or a dominion of darkness, and there is a kingdom of light and love. The kingdom of light and love is the kingdom that God the Father has brought us into through Christ the Son. It's marvelous. So what do we do with some of these things? Well, I'm going to tell you and remind you first that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been qualified to share in the inheritance of the kingdom of light. No one can take that away from you. The devil cannot take it. I cannot take it. You cannot take it away from being stupid. You cannot forget your passport and not get in. God has qualified you because of the work of Jesus. If you believe on Jesus and are saved, then he qualifies you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light. That is who you are. You are now a qualified saint in the kingdom. Nothing can change that. Now, how does a saint live in order to please the Lord who redeemed him? Well, bear fruit in every good work. Bear fruit. What does that look like? Well, it looks like just walking with Jesus and being obedient to the things he calls you to. Walk in the Spirit. Wake up in the morning and say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I give you my life and my heart and all the things that I want to do today and all the things I don't want to do today and everything that is bound up in who I am, I surrender that to you, Lord Jesus. I am your servant. Fill me with your spirit and use me for your purposes today. I don't think it's any more complicated than that. Now, you're going to hit a couple bumps in the road as you go throughout your day. And you're going to have to do that 100 times over the day because someone's going to poke you and you're going to get tired and you're going to need a nap and you're going to get hungry and then someone's going to rear-end you and then the line at Costco will be really long and all these things. The terrible things that we suffer, right? But you're going to run into trouble. When you run into trouble, ask the Lord to help you bear fruit in the trouble. Say, Lord, I want to do good works in this kingdom of darkness. Help me to do that. So bear fruit in every good work. Second, grow in the knowledge of God. You, as a child of the kingdom of light, as a saint in the kingdom of light, have a responsibility to grow in the knowledge of God. He is not just going to download all this information into your brain, into your heart, into your soul. He wants you to walk with him. He doesn't say, I'm going to drag you. He says, walk with me. Jesus does not drag you kicking and screaming through the kingdom. Why would he do that? He wants you to respond to him in love and grow in the knowledge of who he is. That means you have to read your Bible. We say this all the time. We say it in large part to ourselves. So if you haven't been reading it, that's okay. Pick it up. It's there. If you don't have a Bible, there's an orange one under the seat. You can take it to church. If you don't know how to read the Bible, someone will teach you. I will teach you. Just get in the Bible and read it. If you don't know what it means, ask. Get in a life group. Get in there and get in the Bible. Grow in the knowledge of God. How else do you grow in the knowledge of God? You grow in the knowledge of God through prayer. You pray and you understand who he is. You grow in the knowledge of God through service. You get out and you serve people who are difficult to serve. You can do that in your own home. You do that with your grumpy neighbor. You can do it with all the people that are around you. You can get out and serve. There's a lot of ways that you grow in the knowledge of God. It's not just the stuff that you read and have in your brain. That's part of it. But it's also being involved in community, getting out and serving, growing in the knowledge of God. Practice the spiritual disciplines. Fast and pray. And these are things that Christians have done for millennia in order to do these things. Okay, what's next? Let him strengthen you. I'll just say it more easily, be weak. Paul boasted in his weakness. Paul is probably one of the smartest people who's ever lived. He boasted in his weakness, his mental weakness, his every kind of weakness. He boasted in it because he knew that when he was boasting in his weakness, that Christ's power was demonstrated through him. It doesn't make any sense for a coffee cup to boast about being a coffee cup. Unless it's full of coffee, it doesn't do anything. The purpose for a coffee cup to exist is to hold coffee so that someone can put coffee in it and then drink it. They're a vessel. You and I exist so that Christ can fill us with himself and live his life through us. And as he does that, he will strengthen us with all power according to his glorious might so that we can have great endurance and patience because you and I cannot produce a life that is pleasing to him. So be weak. Go before Jesus and confess your weakness. Say, Jesus, I'm weak. Fill me with your power. And finally, just be joyfully grateful. You and I have so much to be grateful for. I mean, if you like, the whole process of like listing out the things that you're grateful for, having a gratitude journal, writing them out. When you go to bed at night, write out 5 things you're grateful for. Like all of these little practices, make up a song for the things. I don't care how you do it. Remember what God has done for you. As you read through the word, you remember. As you just look at your own life, you remember. Yes, you have a lot of things you could complain about. We all do, right? You're getting older. There's not enough money or my whatever died or this thing and I had to buy a net, whatever. We can complain. It's easy to find stuff to complain about. It's better to find things to be grateful for. And there are so many of them. Starting with the big one, we have a heavenly Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saint in the kingdom of light. He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and he's brought us in the kingdom of the Son he loves. You have been redeemed from your sins. If that's not at the top of your list every day, you may be missing a couple things. Maybe just start with that one and see where things go. So Paul is going to spend a lot of Colossians explaining who Christ is and then who we are because of who he is. Remember, as you head into this week, I hope you get some chance to rest. I really do. You may be thinking, there's no rest for me this week. And if that's the case, I'm sorry. if you, well, whether you get to rest or not, remember who you now are. You are a saint in the kingdom of light. And now remember what you can do. You can live a life that pleases your Redeemer. What does that look like? You can bear fruit. You can grow in knowledge. You can be weak. And you can joyfully give thanks to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for just how good you are to us. That we can come and sing. You give us voices and we can sing to our Redeemer. I thank you that you give us seasons of rest and work and celebration and play. And I just thank you so much for what you have done. That I can stand up here and say to all of these beautiful people that they have been qualified to be saints in the kingdom of light. What a glorious truth. The devil and all of his vitriol and hatred toward us can do nothing to take that away. He is powerless in your kingdom. So as we walk about in the dominion of darkness in this world, remind us that we are saints of light. And the saints of light look different in a dark world. You called us lights of the world, a city on a hill. So Lord, help us to shine the light that you have won for us. Help us to shine the light that comes from weakness, that comes from dependence, comes from interdependence upon the body of Christ. Help us, Lord Jesus, to remember who we are and to live a life that pleases you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand up together, fill up your lungs with air, and sing these words with the top of our lungs, just endorsing what we've heard, committing to what we've heard, asking God to do it in us, releasing ourselves to His service.
Okay, the Lord's been really good. He's done a whole lot for us. You don't get that at this point. I don't know what to tell you, but it's right there in the Bible. That song, just empty your life to Jesus and ask Him to take who you are and empower you to live a life that pleases Him. And then go live the life that He gives you and go in peace. Amen.